that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Free kick for Atleti. Good opportunity to give a shout to a blog, a US fan club of Atletico Madrid called Into the Calderon. Do some really good content followers of the Colchoneros. A decent base in the United States as well, following the action on ESPN Plus. Give them a follow at Into the Calderon.
Who can forget the Vitolo pod?
The infamous Vitolo pod.
Who can forget that?
Comedic gold right there.
I was so mad.
You lost it.
I lost my mind. I was speaking in such a low tone throughout that episode. And like, we end up getting him, and then he completely flops.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. We were choosing to watch Las Palmas matches.
We did make a choice there. Yeah.
Oh, Las Palmas, good for them.
That was the last year they were in Primera, weren't they? They've been in Segunda ever since.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Speaking of Vitolo, he is back at Las Palmas now. He has, actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you this. How many minutes do you think he's played for Las Palmas this year?
Oh, God. Maybe 200?
Less.
Oh, God. Not even two full matches?
I don't think he's played any full matches. He's played matches. He has played matches, I'll tell you that.
He's played some matches.
He's played some number of games, yes.
Oh, Jonathan Vieira's back there. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
He finished his time in China. That's good to see. Yeah. Oh, and Sandro's there. Oh, Sandro.
You remember how high we were on Sandro that 1 year?
We wanted him. Desperately.
Yeah, he had a great year at Malaga, and I was so on board with him, and yeah.
And he had a $5 release clause.
Yeah, it was like $5 or $6 million, and everyone was going to activate it, and then nobody did.
And then Everton was like, we'll take him. We've never had bad luck with strikers before.
Oh, Everton, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Goodness. Well, when we talk about your Arsenal later, we'll undoubtedly talk about the tragedy that is Everton.
Yeah. And the great tragedy, Dave.
And
are all the clubs at the friggin' bottom of the Premier League.
And, of course, your London rivals, Chelsea, who are in the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, they are.
Which I'm sure you're enjoying on some level.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, bringing back Frank Lampard is just great comedy.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you, I can't believe they did that.
Great comedy.
They don't have any idea what they're doing.
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
I swear to God, I'm not a gambling person, but if I was, I would put some units on them just hiring Mourinho because Todd Boehly's heard of him. Bring him back.
Oh, Lord. He'll have to have had a really good lunch to hire Mourinho.
Yeah, he'll have to pick up a big check. Mourinho's made enough in his life. He ain't getting the cheap
stuff. No, he's not paying for anything. Sandro's only 27, by the way.
Jesus.
But to end the suspense, Rob, Vitolo has played 7 games for Las Palmas this year. 0 starts, 108 minutes.
8 minutes?
Wow. What? 108.
Okay.
No goals, right. No assists.
Sounds about right. In Segunda.
Man.
Yeah.
But those were the glory days, man. Yeah, it just... We got him at the wrong time. He was so good at Sevilla, and he just had everything he had left to give. He had given it by, like, age 27.
Well, you know, it's kind of karmic because we've done that to a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
And just a totally spent player.
With how, to quote you, how janky that whole deal was. You know, acquiring him right as he was about to sign on the dotted line of a contract renewal with Sevilla, and then immediately rerouting him to Las Palmas to get around the transfer ban. Karma works in very strange ways.
Yeah, had that one coming.
Yeah, we kind of did. But that's how long we've been doing these, man. It's pretty amazing.
It's been a long time. It's been a really long time.
Because you and I started doing these in 2016. The 2016-17 season. The Nico Gaitán days.
Yeah.
The end of the Cherchi days.
It was ugly.
The glorious reign of Alcio Cherchi.
Yeah. Who could ever forget? Who could ever forget those 2 minutes he played?
And we have been through it all, and we are still here. And, you know, I'm really excited about this episode, Rob, because it is the first Colchonero chat that we are producing for the Fans First Sports Network.
Yeah. It's a new dawn.
It really is. A new age, a new era for Colchonero Chat. I'm really excited to be here on FFSN and starting fresh, but it's going to be the same great, or maybe not great, depending on how you feel about our show. The same great content.
Oh, it's always been great.
That's the spirit. Don't let them know it's not great.
Never.
Got to keep subscribing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're here for.
You know, speaking of the 16-17 season, when we played Betis that year, do you remember who scored the winning goal in that game?
Oh, certainly not.
That would be Nico Gaitán, Rob.
The legend himself.
January 14, 2017, Nico Gaitán getting the winner.
Wow. In the 8th minute it was.
Yeah, it was a really early goal. I couldn't remember when he scored it, but it was really early.
Yeah, I could not tell you what that goal looked like. I'm guessing scrappy.
Oh, I'd have to go. I'd have to hop in the Wayback Machine and see the highlights.
I'm sure they're out. I'm sure they're on YouTube somewhere.
Oh yeah, they're somewhere. But that was during that season, and we have continued to win against Betis. Atletico's latest win against Betis came this past weekend. 4th consecutive win over the Verdi Blancos. 8 unbeaten against them overall in La Liga. Under Simeone, Rob, 16 wins, 4 draws, just 1 defeat against Betis in La Liga. I think they call that ownership.
Oh, yeah, and it's pretty impressive considering how well Betis have done.
They're good. Betis are
over that stretch of time.
They're legitimately a good side. Like, they're going to finish top 5 or top 6 again. And I know they've had some injuries right now, including Nabil Fekir, who's out for the year, unfortunately. But they have some really talented players. Pellegrini's a really good coach. Atletico just know how to beat them.
Yeah, and they've had some really good coaches over the years, even before Pellegrini.
Yeah.
And have had some really good sides. But for whatever reason, we've always had their number. I think for a while it's because they played a pretty stylistically different sort of football than Atleti did, and mm-hmm. I think that left them kind of at the mercy of Atletico for a while, and they really, as I recall from those early years, they really struggled to break Atleti down, and those could be some grindy matches, but it worked every time, as you've just laid out. It always worked against those guys.
Especially during the Setien games. I remember one at the Via Marin, where Saul scored a really scrappy first half goal. Betis had about 75% possession, and we won 1-0. Fantastic stuff.
Yep. That kind of sums it all up. That's what those matches were like. And, you know, they're a really well-run club, honestly, as far as La Liga clubs go. They find players that are available for cheap that are really high quality that fit right into their system. And, of course, then they have 96-year-old Joaquin.
Yeah.
Who just keeps on going.
He's still going. He had probably their best chance, or their first, or their, maybe their best chance, second best chance after the hour on Sunday. He's still got it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of matches he's played for Betis over those two spells is incredible, considering how long he was gone in between those.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's amazing.
He's his next appearance for Betis will be his 400th for them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. He's one of the greats of Spanish football. I think unheralded greats.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and of course, he joined up with Pellegrini at Malaga when everyone was going to Malaga when they used to have money.
Yeah, and now they're on their way to the third tier.
I don't think we're going to see them again.
Not for a while. Oh, no.
Sadly.
They were just an eyelash from a Champions League semifinal, and now they're like going to disappear from the top two divisions of Spanish football.
As you and I have talked about a lot, you fall out of Segunda, it's kind of curtains.
Yeah, look what happened to Depor. Look what happened to Depor.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still struggling down there. When you get to that point in the pyramid, it's real tough to come back.
And the way the promotion system works is just, not only is it mind-boggling, it's just brutal.
Because there's so many smaller leagues, and they all have their own like playoff systems, and you got to get through the playoff too.
Yep.
Which is just another hurdle when you get down there. Oh gosh. I feel for them.
Yeah. And I don't think that there's a club hero like, I mean, unless Isco goes back to Malaga and somehow drags them out of it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm not sure anyone wants Isco right now.
I'm surprised he didn't just go back to Malaga, honestly. Yeah. I thought after it didn't work out, after he got released, I would have thought that he would have gotten picked up by them again.
That would have been, you know, that would have been nice. He could certainly offer something at that level. Like, maybe not at a top division level anymore, but, like, he would be a really good Segunda player, obviously.
Oh, yeah, he'd rip it up. I mean, yeah, Lucas Perez dropped down to help out Depor because he loves him so much.
Former Arsenal great.
Yeah, former Arsenal great. Yeah, Lucas Perez, man. I mean, but it's true, though. I mean, it's really always interesting to see when these, you know, players that are first division level in Europe drop down to lower divisions, like, man, they just rip it up. Especially if they have, you know, some stake in it, like Lucas Perez does, because he loves Depor so much.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Jonathan Vieira, too, who went back to Las Palmas, even though they haven't been up in several years.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, sad for Malaga, but, you know, it is what it is. They did it to themselves.
Yeah, they really kind of did. But Joaquin, obviously, no longer there. Now back at Betis and playing this game on Sunday. And it was a really weird game, Rob. The first half was really pretty ugly and really not much happened. Atletico probably just about edged it. Simeone would have been pretty happy with how that first half went. Betis didn't have any creativity. They wanted to cede possession to Atletico, which is, as we talked about, really uncommon in these games. And the floodgates didn't really open until the second half. And when they did, Rob, we saw an incredible winning golazo by Angel Correa, who you and I have also been talking about for many years through the many ups and downs of his Atletico career. But something that just is so clear now, Rob, and I think it kind of was when he was young and he had his Atletico career halted by emergency heart surgery, Angelito Correa is an incredibly determined individual and a perfect kind of embodiment of what Diego Simeone wants his forwards to be about.
Yeah, I mean, it's really no surprise that he's stuck around for as long as he has at Atletico and has made as many appearances as he has for the club.
Yeah.
He just fits perfectly into what Diego Simeone wants from a forward player and has always been willing to do the hard yards. And, you know, he's fairly consistent across his career. I mean, last season obviously was kind of the outlier in terms of goals scored, but still, he's going to get you around about 8 or 9 goals a season, which, you know, you kind of want a little bit more from him given what natural talent he has, but that's still a quite valuable player, especially one that plays as much as he does.
And he's had chances to leave, too. In part because his playing time has been so up and down. Like, when we won the league 2 years ago, he was basically a fixed starter. He took that position from Joao Felix in the second half of the season. He made 29 starts that year. And the past couple of seasons, as Atletico have juggled 3, 4, 5 other forwards, Correa's playing time has been really spotty. I think he just crossed the 1,000-minute mark this past weekend, and it's the first week of April. I had to double-check how many starts he's made, but it's not very many. 25 appearances in La Liga, only 9 starts this year.
Yeah.
After 29 2 years ago.
Yeah, and you're right. He has had opportunities to leave, and I'm sure that if people dredge through enough of the archives, they could find episodes where we talked about them.
Yeah, they could.
It seemed likely on more than one occasion.
He almost went to Milan that in 2019, and Atletico almost signed Rodrigo, who ended up going to Leeds.
Yeah.
And is still at Leeds.
Yeah, and I think he just has a good connection to the club, and with Simeone, I think, in particular, like you mentioned, it just works. Even though his playing time has diminished, and maybe this is the time for him to move on. I mean, he's only 28 years old.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been around for a decade and a half.
He really has. Yeah, I think his professional debut was for San Lorenzo literally 10 years ago.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Very experienced. I wouldn't recommend teams to sign him based on the amount of miles that he has logged. But, he's done the hard stuff, that's for sure.
He's durable. He works hard. He's really matured as a player, and he's got twinkle toes. Diego Simeone called his winning goal on Sunday street football. Like, that's futsal. It's right off the street. It's the kind of football that solves those, like, really tight situations and moments where there's no space. Correa just tore apart Betis's whole defense because Germán Petzea comes out to meet him. The center back pushes up, comes out to meet him. Correa dribbles through him. Aitor Ruibal, the right back, has a chance to clear it or play the ball. He does neither. Correa wins it back after Ruibal had a chance to hoof it away. And then the left back, Miranda's covering along with Luis Felipe, the center back. Correa dips to his right to evade him, and then wrong foots Rui Silva. Incredible goal.
Yeah, I mean, really incredible. But that's kind of what his role has been over the years, is he is kind of the guy that can do that individual moment of brilliance that Atleti has often needed to unlock a defense after not creating a whole lot.
Yeah, it was a really weird game from that vantage point. Atletico had a lot of fouls. It was a pretty physical game, a lot of contact. Possession was 54% in favor of Atletico, actually. Usually it's the other way around. Betis routinely rack up 55-60% possession in these matchups. But with all the injuries, with Fekir gone, with the ACL injury, Sergio Canales suspended, at least temporarily, for arguing with the referee. God bless Spain. Couple other guys were out as well. Pellegrini opted to go for a lower block and cede possession, and they would have been, I think, perfectly fine with a goalless draw. But Simeone and Correa certainly were not. And it's another overall really solid performance from Atletico, Rob. Since the Madrid derby draw, Atletico won 4 in a row in La Liga over Sevilla, Girona, Valencia, and Betis, scoring 11 times, conceding just once in those 4 games, and running almost in line with their expected goals. 10 expected goals scored in those 4 games, according to Understat, and just over 3 expected goals conceded, which is still a really good mark. And since the World Cup, Rob, as I'm sure you've noticed, Atletico have been awfully good. Has this run of form, not just lately, but really since the World Cup ended, has this surprised you? And what has surprised you most about it?
I mean, it's hard not to be surprised, you know, given how bad the first half of the season was. I mean, it was so horrendous. I mean, the problems in this team still persist in that scoring, you know, outside of some outlier matches like the Sevilla match or Valencia, scoring goals have been hard to come by. I think only Morata has 10 goals, and that's it.
We love a balanced scoring effort.
Love a balanced scoring effort, but yeah, the lack of goals is a serious problem. I think, I mean, they had to turn it around given the way the first half of the season went, and kind of locking in their spot in third, which makes sense given how the La Liga shaped out this season. Mm-hmm. You know, they really needed to turn around, and they did. They've been getting results. They've had a couple really good performances in there. But I think, you know, the problems, the deep underlying problems still persist in terms of goal scoring and creation of opportunities. And it's just, it wouldn't be enough to win La Liga at this point. So
yeah,
there's work. There's a lot of work still to be done. And the squad is old.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about it many times. But if this is a squad full of players, theoretically, at their peak, then if this is how you're running, it's not ideal.
Atletico's average squad age is over 29.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we say old, we mean old.
old. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is the third oldest squad in La Liga. And two of the three teams that are older, Cádiz and Sevilla, are fighting relegation.
Right. Yeah, it's not great. And, you know, given the way Atletico's wage structure is and some of the wages that those players are on that are in their early 30s or late 20s, some of them will be hard to shift at this point, and
yeah,
kind of leaves you with very little wiggle room in terms of squad turnover at this point.
Because you have so many key players who are 29, 30, 31, 32 that,
yeah,
you know, we should think about moving them on, right? We should start to usher in a new generation of players. And some of these players from the academy, the pipeline is starting to bubble, Rob. Atletico,
yeah,
finally have some really exciting young players that they're starting to tie down to long-term contracts, like a sustainable and well-run club, which, as we know, Atletico aren't always. They don't always operate like that. So it's really exciting to see kids like Adrián Niño extend his contract. Rodrigo Riquelme got a really nice loan move to Girona and has had a very good season there. Samuel Lino has been really good for a bad Valencia team. So there are exciting young players on the horizon, but I really wonder if, you know, there is a downside to, you know, winning like this. Winning is always good, but I wonder if this good run of form since the World Cup, Atletico are on an 11-game unbeaten run in La Liga, their longest in over 2 years. I wonder if it's not going to convince the club that, you know, everything's okay. We just need to make one or two cosmetic changes and we'll be fine. Because if they do that this summer, they're going to be in for another difficult season next year when Atletico are playing in the Champions League again and when Atletico are going to hope to muster another challenge in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be one of those summers where, you know, I'm not going to say a purge, but you need to take advantage of opportunities to move some of these players on. I mean, obviously the elephant in the room is João Félix.
Mm.
Who knows what's going to happen there. But there's a lot of other players that have been hanging around at this point. I mean, we talked about Angel Correa. I mean, I imagine he'll stay, honestly, given some of the other folks that are higher up in the queue that need to find a new home. But it's not going to be easy because, as we've seen over the years since the pandemic, most of the clubs in Europe, outside of the Premier League, really, and certain other, you know, like PSG and whatnot, there's not a lot of money to go around. So you're not going to get a ton for these players in the way that you might have done in 2018 or something like that.
And Spain in particular has been really afflicted by this. Like you mentioned,
big
how
time.
Atletico struggle to score goals. Most teams in Spain are struggling to score goals. The amount of exciting, dynamic attacking talent in Spain has really dwindled significantly in the past couple of years. Like, who is the... Is Morata the best Spanish striker in La Liga now?
Wow.
Yeah, think about
it. What a thought. You're not wrong, but wow.
Like, Morata or Jose Lu, who plays for, you know, Espanyol, who just sacked their manager and are fighting relegation.
Yeah.
Jose Lu is good, but he's in his 30s. You know, Aspas is in his 30s. Lewandowski's not Spanish, and he's in his 30s. Benzema's not Spanish. He's in his 30s.
Jeez.
Yeah, La Liga's old now.
I haven't thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pretty. Golly.
Like,
yeah.
Neither Madrid nor Barcelona, I think, are that likely to get to 80 goals scored. You and I were doing podcasts when they would score 105 goals every year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sad to say, but it's the reality. When you and I were doing the pods in the early days, La Liga was the best league in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Without question.
Yep.
I mean, featuring some of the best players, not just at Barcelona and Real Madrid and whatever, but the Atletico Madrid, obviously, excellent. But even the Europa League clubs all had players that were dangerous and made an impact in the Europa League.
Yep.
Or even on the fringes of the Champions League as well. It's just not the case right now.
It's really wild, just the talent drain in Spain. And there aren't that many really top-level young players coming through. It's wild how fortunes have changed, and it's really kind of flattened out the league and has brought a bit more parity, certainly to the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
Madrid and Barcelona are still the top dogs, of course, and Barcelona are going to win the league by a whole bunch of points, but they're not going to win the Copa del Rey. Oh, my gosh.
No, they're not.
Oh, Lord. I was trying to decide if that result today at Camp Nou, Spotify Camp Nou, was bad or funny. I decided on funny.
Oh, definitely funny.
4-0 Madrid with a Benzema hat trick.
Yeah, definitely funny.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not great. Well, I mean, good for Osasuna.
Yeah. That's Manu Sanchez's Osasuna.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Atleti
into a Copa del Rey final. That's excellent.
Atleti might actually have a Copa del Rey winner in their squad next year if Manu comes back.
What a thought.
Yeah, right? Well, hey, with Reynildo's injury, Manu might... He has options, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's certainly true.
That'd be great for him. So we talked about, you know, I think a few of... More than a few of the guys in this squad should try to move them on this summer, right? Like, Stefan Savic is one of those, right? He's 32 years old now. It looks like he's starting to enter his decline, but he's got a contract for another year, and... the papers reported last week, the Spanish press reported last week, that there's a clause that vests based on appearances next year that could automatically extend the contract to 2025. So, you know, Savage is an example of someone who Atletico should be looking to replace, maybe, but it looks like he's going to stay. Jose Jimenez, I think they've had chances to sell. Tomo Lema is a guy they've had chances to sell, but he has stayed. Lema is just going to be one of those guys who stays forever. And, like in 5 years, you're going to be like, damn, he's still here. And, like, I like Lema, don't get me wrong, but he's just one of those guys.
Well, and it's pretty easy to pick out the outlier season in his Atletico career.
A little bit.
We thought the corner had been turned, and it was not.
And Simeone, he's still starting him. He started this game on Sunday, but he came off before the hour again. He hasn't played 90 minutes all season. His physical level just really is not there to play an elite level. Jan Oblak is another one who has had options maybe to go to the Premier League. Kind of thought, okay, maybe Tottenham will go after him, but Tottenham are in complete chaos right now.
Yeah, I couldn't see him making a move like that. I mean, yeah, it is really a case of a lot of missed opportunities. I mean, you think about...
Carrasco, too.
You think about the fees that Jose Jimenez, Jan Oblak, and Saul could have fetched, 5 years ago. They wouldn't get anywhere close to the fees now. Maybe for Jan Oblak. The rest, you're not getting the money you would have got back then for him.
Yeah. No, it's missed opportunities, maybe failing to gauge the market properly, but also trying to build a winner. And also, yeah, just the way Atletico are run, the board doesn't want to take risks. They don't want to take chances like this. We're looking at another summer window of limited spending, like the fourth consecutive window where there's limited spending. And there are a number of reasons for that we can get to on another show. One guy who I think who I would have thought this time last year, you have to get rid of him, but now I'm kind of rethinking it, is Mario Hermoso, Rob. He has been incredible since January. Another really good game Sunday against Betis, completed 90% of his passes, 7 progressive passes, 26 carries, looks very much at home in a 4-4-2 and in the 3-5-2 that we've been playing since Reynildo's injury. 1-3 tackles in the middle third, 6 tackles, interceptions, half a dozen clearances, and the way Simeone is using him is really interesting. It's kind of like he's taken a page out of Pep Guardiola's book in turning Hermoso into another midfielder. He's inverting him, like, so deep into the midfield that he's kind of sitting alongside Koke in a double pivot. It's really fascinating, and it's really working.
He's the new age Javi Martinez.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you're hearing it more and more.
Yeah, I mean, Wow, it has been a turnaround for him, considering where we were at after buying him. I mean, he was a really big prospect when he came to the club, and it never really worked. I mean, you just felt like for such the longest time that he was a liability, but this role does make sense for him now. I mean, I think you're asking for problems if you're relying on him as the rock of your back line. Mm-hmm. And I think Simeone has realized that perhaps a little later than he should have, but nevertheless, he has realized it and has found a way for him to provide value to the team. And in a squad of very old players, he's on the younger end of those old players. So, yeah, I mean, I could see him sticking around. I mean, it's going to be a juggling act of how you get some of these guys out of the door to bring in enough money to reinvest into the squad or not reinvest, just to keep the club financially stable. But yeah, nevertheless, it's going to be a balancing act. And I don't know. I mean, he could bring in money, I guess, but I don't think you'd want to see this back line without him at this point.
What a reversal. Just
what a reversal.
What a time to be alive. And of course, I think we have to mention something that I think is kind of obvious, Rob, is that the big reason Atletico have been playing so well since January and are on this 11-game unbeaten run, I think it's two-tiered. The first reason is because Atletico cleaned up the dressing room a little bit, and we're going to talk about that later when we talk about how Joao Felix is doing at Chelsea. And the second reason is that there are no distractions. Atletico aren't in Europe. They aren't in the Copa del Rey. This is all they have. All they get to do all week is train for the league games. And they haven't had that luxury at all in the Simeone era.
No, not at this point in the season, typically. And, you know, that does make a big difference, and you can kind of get carried away with that, you know, in that the team is performing well enough and getting results, but the reality is they're only playing one match a week. Mm-hmm. So how much stock do you put into this as a genuine step forward, or is it just that the squad is more fresh than it has been in recent years, or certainly that it was in the first half of the season, and isn't as stretched? Granted, they've had a lot of injuries as well, but...
Yeah.
You know, this is it's hard to gauge whether this is a genuine step forward, given what we've talked about with the older players as well. Is this really a progression, or is this just, you know, the results coming back down to earth with a lighter schedule and them performing at a reasonable level? But are there really things on a team basis that you can bet on for the future? I'm not sure.
I mean, the performances of Pablo Barrios are certainly something to get excited about. This kid's got a lot in his locker, and he doesn't turn 20 years old for another couple of months. Another really solid performance off the bench on Sunday. In under 500 minutes, he's already offered Atletico a lot at a young age. He's brought a lot of freshness and dynamism and composure to a midfield that has needed all of those things. So I'm excited to see what challenges await him next and how he takes them on. And not to denigrate Atletico's form, because obviously they're unbeaten in 11 with 8 wins in that stretch. They genuinely are playing really well, and I think they genuinely are reasserting this identity they've had for so many years under Simeone that they lost a bit last year and the first portion of this year. They're on pace to concede 27 goals in La Liga, Rob. That's much more like us.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is. So if the system is there, it's just a question of who all is going to be there to carry that forward in the next season. And, I mean, this summer is huge. It is really, really huge for the future of this club.
How about an Alvaro Morata contract renewal?
Who would have thought? Another what a time to be alive situation where Alvaro Morata is back again. Wow. I mean, the dude's a good goal scorer to a certain extent. I think the way that he was talked about 10 years ago is not the player that he is in reality, but the dude's going to give you double digits. Maybe not a whole lot more than that, but he'll give you double digits for sure.
And it was hard to ask him for much more than that. We know Morata's track record. We know what he can and can't do. And he's at 10 league goals now in 27 appearances, which that's about right. like Murata, above all, is a pretty safe option. He's not an elite option. If you want to win the Champions League or really compete for multiple trophies, Murata is not going to be your guy. He's not going to lead your line. But he's a solid contributor. He's, I wouldn't describe him as a super smart or intelligent player because he drifts offside way too much. And he also flops and dives a lot. That was a penalty in the first half, I think. When Murata goes down under contact, I think he embellished it a little bit, but there was contact. He was tripped inside the penalty area.
And that may be his reputation preceding him a little bit.
That's just a matter of referees are tired of seeing him dive, which I understand. He does embellish contact. But what Murata is going to give you is pretty smart link-up play. He's a good focal point to build around, and he's going to score you some goals. He's got 10 this year in the race for the Zada Trophy as the top Spanish-born goal scorer in La Liga. Now, he's been fine, probably a little bit better than expected.
Well, I think the reality with Murata is, as a rotational player, he's fine. Like,
yeah.
You know what you're going to get with him. And I don't think that he is one of those, outside of presumably the salary that he's on, which is probably an issue, but, having him at the club is useful. Do you want him as your first option? Definitely not. But through the course of a season, when you're competing on three fronts, he will come in handy and will get you some goals along the way. So I'm not mad at it.
No.
I don't think he would get you that much in terms of transfer fee at this point.
Which is why you renew him at this point. You extend his contract.
Yeah. I don't know how much he's on, but I suspect given where he came to the club from and the status of the clubs he's been at before, it's probably a lot.
And if Memphis hits next season, Memphis will be the first choice center forward.
Presumably.
And I think what we've seen from Memphis so far, he was injured on Sunday as he strained his hamstring over the international break. But what we've seen so far has been pretty promising.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a good player.
You kind of know, again, another guy you kind of know what you're going to get at this point. He's another one of those that's in his prime, and you look at his track record and you kind of know what the output's going to be.
He's been a 15 to 20 goal contributor at multiple clubs.
Yep.
And 3 goals in less than 300 minutes so far for Atletico, 2 of them against Sevilla. And I think with a full off-season program under Simeone, I'm excited to see what he can offer Atletico next season.
I think so.
Good competition there.
You know, the manner in which Atletico got him, it's not like they spent a ton of money on him. So, and we know that he is a good player. His time at Lyon, he was excellent. And was quite good in his first season of Barcelona, too. But, all the stuff going on there.
All the stuff going on at Barcelona, that's right.
It doesn't even bear talking about that. It has no real impact on him as a player,
Right.
It doesn't really say a whole lot about him. But for that amount of money, he's a good player that's good to have around.
Well, a player who is likely not going to be around Atletico next season, Rob, is one João Félix. And I wanted to talk to you about him.
Oh, yeah.
Because we haven't done a real, formal update on him on the pod. I would not say things have gone well for him at Chelsea. What do you think?
Pretty much nothing has gone well at Chelsea. let's be honest, sacked their first manager halfway through the season, brought in another high-profile, expensive manager that they had to pay Brighton a lot of money for, and then promptly sacked him this past week.
Yeah.
And then granted, there was the catastrophe of his first appearance for Chelsea when he got sent off. It's kind of been a nightmare for him, and, for people that don't watch the Premier League that closely, just go look at Chelsea's squad.
Yeah,
it's a mess. The amount of players, and also consider that Nkunku's coming in this summer to add to that group. Where is the playing time going to be for him there? I don't really see him staying there. given how poorly it's gone and how much he would likely cost. But my goodness, it is, he's had, you know, he's, it's the Joao Felix experience. He's had moments of brilliance and then moments of just boneheaded stupidity.
He has gone from Diego Simeone 3 months ago to Graham Potter and Frank Lampard at Chelsea.
Yes.
Can you think of a bigger managerial downgrade than that?
It's pretty bad.
But it's pretty bad. This is what he wanted, you know? And Chelsea fans are, I think, realizing now what we realized as Atletico fans and observers too late. In 690 Premier League minutes, he started every appearance, by the way. In 690 Premier League minutes, he scored twice, zero assists. His shot-creating actions per 90 are down from what they were at Atletico. His touches per 90 are running at about the same, which is surprising to me given how, A, how often he's been interviewed, and B, how in every interview he's talked about how much freedom he's playing with, how much he's on the ball, how much he loves having this free role. His touches are about the same. 48 touches per 90 at Chelsea, 45 per 90 at Atletico.
It has been a nightmare loan spell, and you can put this in the Saul box of loan spells to Chelsea that have gone poorly. And, I mean, another one to look at is Mykhailo Mudryk, who they paid a ton of money for.
Just to keep him away from Arsenal.
Literally the only reason. And, I mean, he's been, to this point, an abject disaster for them as well.
There's no plan there at Chelsea.
No.
They're managerless. They're 11th in the Premier League. They're in the bottom half of the table. They've won two games since Joao has arrived there, and Atletico are unbeaten since he left.
It's insanity.
I don't think it's a coincidence at all that Joao Felix is gone.
The amount of money they've spent this season alone.
Just on Mudryk, on Cucurella, on Fofana, who's barely played, on Enzo at the very end of the January window, and they're all signing them to these baseball-length contracts because we love American ownership, and it is clear that they don't have any idea what they're doing. They just have a lot of money to spend, and they keep talking about this vision and this plan, and the guy you wanted to be the front-facing, you know, the front-facing figure of that plan, Graham Potter, is now gone. He's been sacked.
Well, and I think the reason that Chelsea were so good for so long is because, from a recruitment standpoint, they had a very clear vision. And they had some misses along the way. Every club will. But in the Roman Abramovich era, they had a ton of money, of course, but they also spent it wisely. You know, just because you have money doesn't mean that you're going to have success. You might figure it out eventually, but this is the example of having more money than sense. Like, and, I mean, I don't see the plan there at all. I mean, the players they're bringing in young players to a squad that is weird, and then they're isolating players they just bought. And, I mean, their transfer strategy seemingly is just reading the Daily Mail and looking at transfer rumors and be like, oh, we'll just get that guy.
And their biggest problem now is finding a manager who is like, yeah, I can work with these players.
Right.
Like, how many coaches are going to want to come in there and say, I want you to sign these five players? Well, I'm sorry, we have to meet financial fair play. These are your players. We have bought these players for you. Todd Boehly should just be the manager.
Well, and
like, damn, dude.
Yeah, he plays enough football manager.
So do I.
Exactly. I mean, it seems like they're maybe sniffing around Nagelsmann since he got fired by Bayern, but I don't know. I mean, is he just another guy they've heard of? Like, the plan with Graham Potter, at least, I could see it, because he is quite a good manager, and their underlying numbers were decent, but he clearly lost control of that dressing room, which was far too big and had way too many different personalities. I don't know. I don't see what the plan there is, and it seems like a toxic environment at this moment in time.
I don't really know what self-respecting manager would take that on. And this is the situation that Joao Felix finds himself in. It's one that's mostly of his own making, you know? Which is the sad thing about it is that, yes, Diego Simeone was in part responsible for what happened to Joao at Atletico. It was a clear disconnect between coach and player, but this is something the player asked for. This is something he wanted, and it's a much more chaotic and less stable situation than what Atletico find themselves in now without him. It's really wild, and I wonder if 3-4 years down the line, we don't see Joao Felix say, yeah, I screwed up here. I made a mistake. I was young and immature and impatient and impertinent.
I mean, that to me is fairly obvious, having watched his Atletico career. I mean, clearly, hugely talented player. No, there is no question about it. His application and how he fits tactically into a team is the issue. And his ability to figure that out has led him to this situation where I don't know where he's going to play next season.
Like, how many teams now, like elite teams, play with a free roaming number 10? This isn't the 1990s anymore.
Yeah, very few.
Yeah, his closest comp when he was at Benfica was Kaká. And there aren't Kakás or James Rodriguez's anymore. Those guys are gone. Those guys cannot cut it at the top level anymore. Football's changed.
Yeah, if you are going to play that position, you have to be a player that is both very tactically intelligent but also has enough of a motor that you can contribute on both ends of the pitch, which I don't think anyone would accuse Joao Felix of being able to do.
But I think a lot of people would understand that Antoine Griezmann does that work, and that's why Simeone chose Griezmann over Joao Felix and why he wanted him to come back to the club. And no, Griezmann had a bad year last year, but he has had a brilliant year this year. Much to my surprise, of course, as well as yours, just 17 goal contributions, didn't score or assist against Betis at the weekend, but another one of those games where he just does all the running, right? Where he will track back and do the running and do the defending and start the counterattacks that Joao Felix just would not do for whatever reason.
I mean, Antoine Griezmann's Atletico career is gonna go down in the books. I mean, for the years of begging to leave and finally leaving and going to Barcelona and having that good first year, and then it all fell apart and now he's back. It's like this was the role for you. This, whether this is what you were before you came to Atletico or not, this is who you are as a player. Come on back.
And he realized his mistake, and now he's reaping the rewards. Simeone's reaping the rewards. Atletico are reaping the rewards. He's had a brilliant season. But you know, Griezmann's also 32. How many more good years are we going to get from him?
Oof. A lot of miles. A lot of miles on that guy. How far off is he from... I mean, he's 20 goals off the all-time Aragonés scoring record.
21 or 22, yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows? When he falls off, it will probably be off a cliff, I would suspect. But for now, I am pleasantly surprised, let's say, because I think you and I kind of had the same reaction when he came back to club. Like, oh, brother, are we really doing this again, huh?
And it took a year, but here we are. Griezmann is once again one of the top. He's probably the top player in Spain right now.
Crazy. Crazy thing to say.
Yeah. And he's been the leading light all season for Atletico. But you know, they've gotten contributions from really everywhere during this run. Marco Llorente's back in form. Correa scored the winner this past week in his first goal in a couple of months. Hermoso has been great. Nahuel Molina has started to round into form and looks a bit more like the right back we thought we were getting last summer. Before Atletico told him to sink or swim, you're the first choice right back and the only one in the squad, have fun. Koke has also been playing really well lately. And I was thinking about Koke a little bit today and just how underappreciated his career has been and is going to be when he retires. He might end his career as the single greatest Atletico player ever.
Yeah.
And like, we don't really... That's not talked about very much because Koke's game isn't very sexy. He's not the fastest guy. He's not a great dribbler. He hasn't led the assist charts in several years. He's got a lot of what we call intangibles, though. And Koke is an extremely smart player. He makes great decisions. He's willing to play several positions and has played several positions throughout his career. And he's got the trophies and the minutes and the games record to go along with it.
And extremely durable.
Yeah.
I mean, he is available for the most part throughout his career. He has been there. And, I mean, you're right when you point out that his game isn't that sexy, and I think that's why in the broader football landscape he's not really talked about in any glowing terms. Is, I mean, what his best assisting season was the 13-14 title season, and most of those are from set pieces, from corners.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was playing these highlight reel passes or anything. But no, I mean, he took the torch from the Gabbies of this world and the Godines of this world as the representative of the Simeone era. And he was there the whole time. It's just he was a young guy at the beginning. But, he is the face of the team. And I don't really see him leaving at this point. I mean, he'll probably stick around. I mean, it would be funny to see him stick around as long as Joaquin has.
You know,
that'd be another 10 years.
That's another 10 years, yeah, because Joaquin's 41.
God only knows how many appearances he'd have at that point, but...
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's a stalwart, so... And a club legend, and I will always and forever advocate for B teams to not be shown on people's Wikipedia pages because it looks terrible, and it should just say Atletico Madrid, because for one club players, it's just better.
Yeah. Come on. And he's
earned that.
He's going to be a one club player and one of the best midfielders of his era in La Liga, and I wish we talked about it more, but I don't really think Koke or Simeone cares if we talk about it more. I think they kind of like this. You know, they kind of like going under the radar.
I think they're happy for us not to talk about it.
Yeah, they like going under the radar. All right, well, Koke is from Vallecas, Rob, the Vallecas neighborhood in Madrid, and wouldn't you know it, Atletico's next opponent is Rayo Vallecano next weekend at Vallecas on Sunday, a stadium to which I've been, and it's a nice place to watch a game. That's what I'll say.
That was very diplomatic of you.
No, but Vallecas is really cool. Vallecas is this kind of smaller, working-class, blue-collar neighborhood, and it's a stadium certainly befitting the neighborhood. And Rayo, they're fun. They're a pretty good team. Their form has dipped a little bit since the winter break, like it did last year. They haven't won in eight, I believe. Seven. Yeah, their last win was on February 6th against Almeria. They haven't won since then. They drew with Valencia this past weekend. Good result for Valencia as they are trying to stay up. But at Vallecas, Rob, Atletico trying to extend the unbeaten run to 12. Raúl Tomás is back at Rayo.
I was surprised.
We kind of forget about that. No one else wanted him.
Yeah, weird. Especially considering how well he had done at Espanyol.
Yeah.
That was a weird one. And a couple of other old favorites in there. Of course, I mean, Falcao. Is a big name. But
yep.
Mario Suarez is there.
Yeah. Sergio Cameo on loan. He's there, and he's played every game for Rayo this year. Started 23 of them. He's got 9 goal contributions, 5 scored, 4 assisted. Looks like a La Liga forward to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, always cool to see Falcao as well. I mean, just the man. He's just the man.
We sure do love El Chigre.
Always.
And Isti Palazón as well, another unheralded player in La Liga, really fun player to watch.
Yeah, feels like an old school La Liga player, just a guy that's really good that no one has any idea exists.
He's kind of a traditional winger.
Yep.
You know, he's a bit of a throwback, but he's really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I mean, they've had a very good season.
They have. And Iraola is a really good coach. I'm glad he didn't go to Leeds midseason. That would have sucked.
Ooh. So they got Javi Gracia.
They got Javi Gracia instead.
Javi Gracia.
Totally different type of football.
Oh, man. Everyone. That's just the kind of football everyone wants.
That's
to watch. Javi Gracia ball.
That's relegation football.
If you want to watch some terrible football and not get results, he's your man.
Yeah. Well, I would hope they know what they're doing. Mario have an interesting squad. They came to the Metropolitano and drew 1-1 earlier this year with a Falcao penalty in the 90th minute during that really bad month of October for Atletico. Things have stabilized since then. I think Atletico are going to win this one, but it'll be tough.
Yeah, I mean, a club having a really good season, kind of on the outside looking in of the European places, they're too far off at this point to get there, one would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, good season, and we'd like to see this run continue of playing well against good teams. I mean, just had a very good result against Betis, so I don't see why a similar performance couldn't be in store.
Well, your English club, Rob, has put together quite a few good performances this season. Shall we talk about the Arsenal briefly?
Sure, we can talk about the Arsenal.
Do you think they're going to do it? Are they going to win the league for the first time in 20 years?
I am not going to feel good about it until after that Manchester City game at the end of April.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, that's pretty obvious to say, but it's a tough run here. I mean, Liverpool this weekend, obviously, have had a pretty poor season. But and then after that, two clubs that are down there scrapping at the bottom of the table with West Ham and Southampton. They've got a ton of stuff to play for at this point, right before we play Manchester City, who initially my thinking was, okay, well, Manchester City have their two legs against Bayern, but if you look at the teams they're playing, they should probably be able to handle that as well. But it's been an amazing season. I mean, my goal for this club going into the season was to qualify for the Champions League, and that is almost a certainty at this point. So I'm happy with that, but you get to this point in the season and you're top of the table, it's hard not to get greedy.
It's hard not to get excited. You know, and I've been watching this Arsenal team fairly closely, especially in recent weeks, and I gotta say, I'm a fan. They move me.
It's good.
They're good. They're real good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team built around a lot of young guys, and it took a long time, and it took a lot of trust. And whether it was blind trust at times, I will leave up to people to make up their minds, but it has worked. I mean, the young players have taken a huge step forward, and that's what's propelled this team from a team probably projected to finish fourth at the beginning of the season to one that's competing for a title because of how good Saka and Martinelli and Odegaard have been this year.
Yeah.
Just smart signings across the board. The injury to Saliba is a worry because he is really...
He's been amazing.
Really good.
Yeah. I was surprised at not only that Arsenal brought him back, but Arteta immediately gave him a pivotal role in the team, a starting role, and he's just run with it. He's been brilliant.
Yeah, it's worked. Yeah, it was a weird saga with him, but a player that had a ton of talent. And I think, let's be honest, we've seen at Atletico too with young center backs and throughout football in general, center backs take longer time to develop. And they need to get minutes under their belt, and they need to play against men and playing in B teams. And, you know, especially under, you know, age group football is not really going to do a whole lot. But getting experience in other professional leagues, playing against serious forwards, really makes a big difference. And that's what Saliba got on all those loans. And yeah, he's amazing, man. He's really, really good.
And how Arteta's been able to reinvent Granit Xhaka has been pretty interesting too. Xhaka looks like a beyond a playable midfielder now. He looks genuinely good again.
Yeah, he's been huge this season. I mean, really the Phoenix rising here from the ashes with Granit Xhaka. I mean, from the Crystal Palace thing and Unai Emery collapsing, and now he is probably the most critical player in the team. I mean, in the midfield, to me, certainly. They go where he goes. He's not the captain of the squad, but I think if you watch enough Arsenal, you realize he is the vocal leader. That's not really Martin Odegaard's bag, as good of a player as he is.
Just how good Odegaard's been, too, is just amazing. Awesome. He's finally arrived.
Well, we saw it when he was at Real Sociedad.
Yeah, we did. He was brilliant that year.
Yeah, he was sensational, and then, you know, he went to Real Madrid and saw how long the line was.
and got out while the getting was good.
He did. Had the good loan move for half season at Arsenal and decided to hang on, and honestly that transfer is now looking like a steal.
And as Madrid figure out what they're going to do in the post-Toni Kroos era and the post-Luka Modric era, I think they'd like to have Odegaard back.
Yeah, and to my knowledge there is no buyback or anything of there. There may be one of those, like, you know, preference things, but it looks like an incredible transfer. You know, you pay 30 to 40 million for a player and you get your captain and a starting player presumably for the foreseeable future. That's not too bad.
Yeah, he's a star. Guess what, Florentino Perez, he's not yours.
He's not yours. He's not coming back. He's staying. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been an awesome year. It feels magical in a lot of ways, but the thing about seasons that feel magical is they can come crashing down around your ears at the last second too. So in Manchester City, let me be clear, are amazing, and the depth that they have is incredible, and they haven't hit top gear all season to me. My hope is just that they get very distracted by the Champions League and have other things going on and don't care.
They've
won a lot of Premier League titles. It's not that important.
You don't have to win this one. You can win the next one, maybe.
Don't care. You can have it. You can just. It's fine. Just worry about the Champions League. You've never won that. This was the whole point of all the Abu Dhabi money. Just do it.
Just go and win the Champions League. Leave Arsenal alone.
Leave us alone. Play your kids in the league. It's fine.
Play your Rico Lewis's and your Cole Palmers.
No one's gonna pass you. No one. They're not even close. Don't worry about it.
So you got Arsenal at the top of the table. You got baseball season's underway, and the Braves are looking good. Life is good for you, Rob.
It's good. I mean, I'm still in a weird spot with it because for the vast majority of my life, all of the teams that I love had pretty terrible results.
They've let you down.
on more than one occasion. October of 2021, the Braves won the World Series, the Dogs won the National Championship, another one, Arsenal are on their way to winning the league, and, you know, the Braves are one of the best teams in baseball and are set up for the next decade, so I don't know. I don't really have a lot to complain about, so I'm not going to.
How can I forget about your beloved Georgia Bulldogs?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Absolutely. Your dogs.
The dogs, I mean, listen, no complaints there. They don't have to do in my mind, they don't have to do a damn thing for the next 20 years. They're good in my book. Back-to-back national championships, I don't care what you do. Do whatever.
You've got enough trash talk ammo in you now for the next 20 years.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got enough shit talk for the next 10 years.
I mean, back-to-back national championships in college football is really hard.
Yeah.
And to do it in the way that they did it was amazing. And so I'm not complaining. And the Braves World Series was great. So, you know, I'll be a little greedy, but I'm not complaining, whatever happens.
Nah, you're set, man. I can't. You got those memories that last you forever.
I can't be an asshole and complain about this stuff. But, you know, it would be uncouth.
I mean, you are uncouth on Twitter sometimes.
Sometimes, but only sometimes. You know, and that's typically after some units, so...
Yeah.
The Braves tweets, they don't exist. You didn't see them.
That's right. They're just an illusion, Michael.
They're an illusion. You don't worry. Don't worry. They've already played today. There won't be any tonight. It's fine.
Yeah, they swept the Cardinals. That's right.
Nobody likes them.
No.
Unless you're a Cardinals fan, in which case, fair enough.
Well, yeah. That's, again, very diplomatic thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I have cousins that are Cardinals fans, and they grew up in North Carolina, which makes no sense to me, but that's neither here nor there. But just a trash franchise. just devil magic, which I hope, and I say this by knocking on all the wood that exists in my house, that their devil magic has left with Yadier Molina's retirement.
Yeah, he's gone.
Until he returns as their manager, probably in July, it'll stay away.
Yeah, we reach the hour mark and the gloves come off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks play the Dodgers again this weekend, a 4-game series. When will it end?
The D-backs have been not too bad now.
I know. We beat the Padres yesterday, a really wild game. We got some really exciting young players.
Madison Bumgarner still stinks.
I know. Terrible. Just a terrible
contract.
He's
really bad.
But, you know, we got Corbin Carroll, you know?
He's good.
And he's real exciting. Possible Rookie of the Year in the National League. And, we're 500 in that division. If we finish the year 500 in that division, I won't be unhappy. Let's put it like that.
No. I mean, Zach Gallen's amazing.
He's a stud, man. Ace.
Hasn't had the best start to the year, but still, really, really, really good.
No, he's clearly their best pitcher.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, Bum. I don't know what you do with Bumgarner at this point.
You eat the contract.
I guess. I mean. I think I can't remember if I saw it on Twitter or read it in an article on Fangraphs or something like that, but, like, normally with players of this age, you hear about them, like, oh, that have hit a rough spot. It's like, oh, they're trying something else. They're going to change their pitch mix. Nope, Bumgarner's, I'm throwing this 90-mile-an-hour fastball down the middle, and I think it's 2014 again.
It is not Game 7 of the World Series in Kansas City, Madison.
No. That was awesome. Don't get me wrong.
It was.
That heroic. World Series was like, I have the biggest testicles, and I am going to do this. And I respect that. But
yeah.
It ain't that no more.
That was a great World Series.
It was.
Really
was, awesome.
Was a lot of fun.
And he was awesome. And he is one of the best playoff pitchers of all time. But no. Just stop.
No.
Just do something else. I don't know. I don't know what else he got to do. Go ride rodeo or whatever it is you do.
And he was only 24 in that World Series? Oh,
I know.
My God. 24!
I know.
Oh, mon dieu.
I know. I'm telling you.
Wowzers, I'm telling you. Man.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Did I tell you, and this is the last thing before we sign off, did I tell you I ran into him at a Barnes & Noble like a year and a half ago?
He knows how to read?
Okay, no. I shouldn't
Sorry,
have
asked. I apologize.
That. It was right there.
My North Carolina friends. I know you know how to read.
Yes, he does. He bought a lot of religious text, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that tracks.
And I didn't introduce myself. I didn't know if he wanted to be recognized or not. But it was like $300 or $400 worth of books that he bought.
Well, I mean, listen. As far as professional athletes go, there are worse things you can spend your money on than books.
And hey, you wouldn't expect to see an ace pitcher making, what, upwards of $20 million a year at a Barnes & Noble, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of humble.
Hey, you know, maybe he was getting gifts for people. I don't know. But, yeah, buying books, hey, not too bad, Mad Bum. Now, either pitch better or do something else. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't buy any pitching manuals, which... His ERA as an Arizona Diamondback is over 5 in 66 starts.
I would have taken the over on that, to be perfectly honest with you.
More than a small sample size at this point.
And so you're telling me he wasn't, like, buying, like, Moneyball or, like...
I don't think he was. Preparing for a career as a front office executive, no.
I mean, look, if this was 1973, he would be a great GM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is 2023.
Yeah, it's not.
Last I checked.
No. Yep. Well, he's still a thing, and he'll have those Giants highlights forever.
I hope he turns it around just to some degree. Even a little bit. Just turn it around. Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Mm. Give me a little something. Maybe if you make the playoffs, he'll go back to old Mad Bum. Who knows?
Before I get too sad about the Diamondbacks, because we should be optimistic. They have some good young players. They drafted Andrew Jones' kid last year.
Yeah, Drew.
He's going to be great.
And Andrew Jones makes fun of him on Twitter all the time.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Which is great parenting. I think he posted a video of him, like, striking out or something. And
oh.
Andrew just sent him a bunch of laughing emojis.
Oh, no. That's tough love.
Speaking of which, Andrew is getting his number retired for the Braves, so maybe Drew will go.
You know, good for him. He was a great player.
Yeah. he'll maybe get in the Hall of Fame. He probably should. But
yeah, the end of his career just wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Those last few years were ugly, but he was a great Brave.
But yeah, anyway, good for Drew Jones. Hope he's as good as dad.
I hope his kid is a really good Diamondback. That would make me happy. But all right, let's wrap it up there. Yeah, that's right. Our snakes.
Go Snakes.
We love our snakes. All right, we are going to sign off on this extended edition of Colts Neuro Chat. Always a pleasure to talk to Rob Walker. Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem, my friend. My pleasure as always.
You can find our work on itsthecalderon.com. You can find us on Twitter at @IntoTheCalderon. And subscribe to the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network, now proudly affiliated with Fans First. You can find us just by searching Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you want bonus content, additional Atletico insight, with an exclusive bent, you can subscribe to the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtsNeuroChat. I do a couple of shows a week. I'll be doing another bonus pod in a couple of days here prior to Atletico's game against Rayo Vallecano. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, adios.